Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the DGDG.com studios in downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
Wait. No. This is not how we start a Sunday show. It's Father's Day, damn it. Let's get moving. Give it to me, Bruno.
Now look at you walking in here looking pretty and angry and mean and good. I know you didn't get your hair done, so you can just sit down and just sit still.
Hey, we're trying to have a good sound tonight. Let's go.
That's how we get going on a Sunday. Happy Father's Day to you, Bay Area. It is 12:01 on Sunday. And Tiger Woods is not going to win the U.S. Open. I told everybody I was going to lead with that, and I did. Moving on. Phil Mickelson's never going to win the U.S. Open. Brooks Koepka might come back from four down to win the U.S. Open. That's your golf for the day. The number for the day, or at least for the next 4 hours, we will be together for the next 4 hours. And you are going to be my micro host. If you get past Gabe Osler, who is my producer for the day, you will get on the board. If you get on the board, you'll absolutely get on the air. Now, how long you last on the air, that's entirely up to you. If you're great, then I let you run. If you got secretariat in your stable, you let him run. However, if you're a glue type horse, you will get shot quickly. You will be glue. You will be Elmer's. 888-957-9570. I was talking with Gabe, my producer, before the show, and of course the first question you always ask each other, producer and host, is, well, what are you thinking for today? And I knew this was the answer, but just wanted to make sure Gabe agreed with me. Warriors are still going to lead the way. It's still the week the Warriors season ended. There's still plenty to unpack, and the fact that the LeBrons just got the unibrow, that changes everything. It doesn't change a lot for the Warriors, I don't think. But it certainly changes a lot around the NBA. I didn't think they'd be able to get this done with the Magic Johnson drama going on. And then, I thought there was such a huge rift that Magic and Rob Pelinka were never going to speak to each other again. Not even look at each other. But then Lakers pull off this trade and Magic's tweeting out congratulations to Rob Pelinka. At first, he just congratulated Jeannie Buss, who was the owner, of course. But then he did compliment Rob Pelinka, and like I said, I didn't think that deal would get done. How are you going to feel if you are one of the young Lakers that has heard your name in all of these talks, and you're not one of the guys going to the Pelicans? You're being brought back, knowing damn well that LeBron was cool with you being off the team. That's got to be a weird dynamic. Now, probably not as big a deal as it sounds, because if you're a young player that LeBron is willing to let go to another team, chances are you're not a significant piece of a championship team. I think LeBron probably knows what a significant piece of a championship team looks like, and that's why they went so hard for Anthony Davis. Now they got, what, $23.7 million possibly to go get another top free agent? Is it going to be Kyrie? He might go to the Nets. And obviously it's all speculation at this point, but it sure is nice that something big popped like this, because I don't know how much longer I could have thought Warriors and nothing else as it relates to the NBA. This gives me something else to think about as it relates to the NBA. But I am still thinking about the Warriors. Of course I am. That was a hell of a tough loss. You lose two generational talents in two games. Look, I think we all, in our heart of hearts, at least I did, I knew they weren't going to win this series without Kevin Durant. I know there's people that are going to come down my road and say, if Klay doesn't get hurt, if Klay plays the whole series, that means he doesn't miss the one with the game three with the hammy. There's people convinced that the Warriors would have won. And, hey, that's great. I'm not going to take that away from you. I certainly can't tell you you're wrong because we'll never know. And it was certainly a possibility just because what we know about the Warriors. I mean, any of the talk that their heart was in question or their place as one of the great teams of all time, knock it off. Come on. You don't get to five consecutive finals without having some heart, without dealing with some adversity. Now, did they get their share of good fortune along the way? Yeah, absolutely. Every champion does. The Warriors will not deny that. But it all came due this spring. There's no doubt. It's for almost like for every year that they got by with just minor injuries or no injuries, it's almost like there was a tally being held up. And then come year five, this is the year that bill comes due. So let's see, this healthy here, healthy there, ring here, healthy there, all-star here, ring there. We're going to need KD and Klay to both go out in the finals and not come back. It's just the bill that came due. Now, don't go trying to blame the Pelicans. I heard somebody calling into the previous show. Coz and Covey were keeping me highly entertained on my ride in. But if you want to blame Danny Green for Klay's injury, stop it. Somebody called in and said it was Klay's fault because he didn't hang on the rim. Okay, that would have been great. And hindsight is 20/20, but are you kidding me? You're going to blame Klay for that injury? You know what that's called? It's called bad luck. It happens sometimes, just like good luck happens sometimes. I am in no way, shape, or form saying that the Warriors have been lucky. They have had good fortune as it relates to health for the previous 4 years, though. And even then, they dealt with plenty of injuries. I mean, look at the year that they lost Game 7 to the Cavs. If you want to be that guy, you can say, well, if Steph's healthy that series, we win it. Okay, fine. And then the Cavs will come back and say, well, if Kyrie and Love were healthy the year before, they would have won it. And it would go on and on and on and on. That's not what we're going to do here. By the way, if you would like to reach the show via the text line, it is the Chilton Autobody text line. That would be 95795. And again, I need micro hosts. I've got 4 hours by myself. Need your help. Well, don't need it. I mean, I could get through 4 hours by myself. Trust me. But I would much rather share it with you, talk to you, hear your hopes and dreams at 888-957-9570. So I'm going to throw out two questions to get the pipes flowing initially. I want to hear your first reaction. And we did this last week. I'd like to get your first reaction, your visceral reaction. When you heard the unibrow was headed to Los Angeles, what was your first thought? I mean, there's a million different things you could thought. You could thought, it's bogus. It's not going to happen. Wake me up if it actually does. Or you might think, oh, my God, the Lakers gave away their franchise. This is a Herschel Walker trade. I'm sure some people are out there. I mean, Lakers fans, I don't know that there's many Lakers fans bummed that they're getting the eyebrow. But when you look at that haul that the Pelicans got, so they're going to get Zion, the number four pick in the draft, two more future number ones, and three pretty damn good young players. Josh Hart. Was it Josh Hart? We have Lonzo Ball. And who's the other fellow? Ingram. Those are three good players. And the Pelicans aren't going to have any pressure on them next year. They're going to be pretty darn good, though. I think they're going to be an exciting team. They'll be fun to watch. There won't be a lot of pressure on Zion, who a lot of people, especially if listening to the previous show, I know Jim Cosmore isn't huge on Zion and his upside as a professional. A lot of people look at his shot and say, yeah, it's going to need a lot of work. And they're not wrong. Anybody who shoots a poor clip from the free throw line has obviously got some mechanical issues to work out. But I watched quite a bit of Duke basketball this year, and I'm disagreeing with anybody who says he has no floor game, no perimeter game. He does. He can shoot a little bit. In fact, like many guys who are bad free throw shooters, he's a better shooter from the field than he is from the line. And I realize his 68% field goal clip is a lot of it's because he gets a lot of dunks and putbacks and layups. But I've seen him many, many, many times, enough times to not worry about it. I've seen him pull up. I've seen him hit threes. He's not a guy that you're going to lean on to do that and ask him to do a ton of it. But can he do it? Yeah. I would have liked for his 1 year in college to have been next year because the NCAA is finally doing what they should have done years ago and moving the three-point line back to the international distance That will make it a little bit easier for teams to look at guys during the draft evaluation process and project how they might hit the long ball once they reach the bigs. Because, look, it's Trae Young in college is hitting shots so far behind the arc that it looks like he's shooting from Steph Curry range. And in terms of being behind the arc, yeah, he is. But that line is so much closer than it is in the NBA. It's not Steph Curry range at all, which is why when you saw Trae Young get to the Vegas Summer League, he really struggled. And it took him a little bit of the regular season before he was able to make that adjustment. And we're talking about a great shooter. So if you're not a great shooter, it's an even more difficult transition for you. But he'll be able to pull it off. Look, the Pelicans are going to have no pressure, but they're going to be really good in about 3 or 4 years. Are the Lakers good enough right now to say, Warriors, your time is done. We are going to win the Pacific Division next year. Now, what's the Pacific Division? Do all of you know what the Pacific Division is? Because you don't hang Pacific Division flags. Not when you're the Warriors. If you squeeze in a division title every once in a while, then maybe you'll hang that banner. But they got bigger fish to fry here, obviously. However, it's nice to be the king. Are the Warriors still the king? Remember, they could bring back Kevin. They can bring back Klay. I think they will bring back both of them. But neither of them are going to be ready until playoffs, if that, next year. That's something that's exciting to me. Exciting to me is being able to watch these guys kind of back in their 2014, 2015 vibe, where they've got the lovable, young, perfect superstar leading the way of some young kind of no-names, and they're doing special fun things on the basketball court. That's what we're going to get next year. Warriors are going to be competitive. They're not going to let this thing like end at a thud as they move into the Chase Center. It's just not going to happen. So what do you think? The Lakers taking the number one slot. Should they be favored going into next year? They're way favored over the Warriors, and I get it. The Warriors are actually going to be underdogs next year. Tell you why they shouldn't be next. I'm Michael Urban, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Thank you for being here. Happy Father's Day to you. It's 12:15 on a Sunday. I'm Michael Urban. We'll be together until 4 o'clock. We'll be speaking with Warriors sideline reporter Kareth Burke in just a moment. First, want to clear the phone lines. Marco, our first caller of the day in San Jose. Marco, what's going on, man? What you got? Marco, you with us?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Hey, sorry about that. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you.
To your first question of what the effect of AD going to the Lakers is, and what my first thoughts were when I saw Pop on NBA.com, I didn't feel anything. You know, I'm a Clippers fan. I'm based in the Bay, but I don't think it'll make a big ripple. Maybe in the Pacific Division, as far as you know, the pecking order, first, second, third. But I think the West is still too strong, and the cultural rot in the locker room. In Staples, at least for the Lakers, is so strong it's going to carry over into this season. And them giving away their young core or part of their young core, I think it's going to, you know, the Pelicans are going to reap the rewards of that in a couple of years, and they're going to be looking like the Sixers and some of the younger teams that we've seen this year. But I can't see the fabric of the Lakers coming together well enough and in time. For them to make a really deep playoff run or even to contend.
All right. Thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it, Marco. Yeah, Vegas disagrees. Vegas almost immediately changed the Lakers' odds of winning the championship, and now they're right up there with everybody else. They're ahead of the Warriors even. And I get it. I mean, their two All-Stars are LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and the Warriors' All-Stars next year are going to be Draymond Green and Steph Curry. Which two would you rather have? Be honest. All right, we are going to go to our first guest of the day. Very appreciative of her time because just as the Warriors have been grinding and grinding forever, so has she. She is a sideline reporter for NBC Sports Bay Area at Warrior Games. She is Kareth Burke. Thank you so much for your time, Kareth. How are you?
I'm doing great, Michael. How are you? And happy Father's Day.
Thank you. My daughter's picked me up. My daughter, my oldest is 16. She picked me up with her 14-year-old daughter, took me to breakfast. Very weird experience for me.
Ooh, yeah.
How about you? What'd you do with your pops? Anything?
You know, I gave him a call. He was working out in the lawn. That sounds about right. Talked to her about 10 minutes. And he's like, you know, sweetie, I got to go. I'm like, okay.
One of those old school guys that doesn't like the phone?
You know, he likes the phone, but I think he wanted to just get those sports down. He wanted to go back inside the house.
Tunnel vision. He's focused. I like it.
You got it.
All right. So how are you doing? How'd you hold up physically through all this? You coming off the high?
I am. You know what? It's a long season and a good season. Truthfully, though, my heart was hurting talking about injuries so much. Like, I am really sensitive. I am sensitive. And then just talking about injuries this whole season, especially in the playoffs and then serious ones, I took yesterday off. I tried not to be on social media. I just really wanted to sit and be and read a book. So I'm coming down off of that.
Yeah, it gets exhausting. And not just for you, I'm sure for Steve and Bob and all the players having to answer those questions. I covered the A's for 9 years on a daily basis, Kareth, and there were a couple of years where every pregame and postgame was about injuries, and it was like you forgot that you were covering the actual sport.
Yeah, every single day. And then maybe there was some frustration for the Warriors, and especially Steve Kerr, because he's really transparent with media, and I think every day he wants to give a Kevin Durant update, and every day he got those questions, and there just wasn't any clarity about the nature of the injury. So he took the questions, and it's just like, I don't know. There's nothing new. And that's what fans want to know, too. So that was the conversation for, how long was it? 6 weeks?
Oh, forever.
His cousins as well, forever. So, I mean, it's part of the job for sure, but I really had to sit with myself and think, why am I feeling so sensitive and sad right now? And it's the human element of a playoff run and a season. You know, guys are hurting.
The voice you hear is that of Kareth Burke. She's a sideline reporter for the Warriors on NBC Sports Bay Area. Kareth, I want to ask you this because you kind of alluded to it. One of the things that we heard all year, and sometimes Kevin would say it himself, is that, you know, I get asked about my free agency all the time. And I'm thinking, I know most of the reporters locally, and I don't know any of them to be that person that keeps asking, knowing it's frustrating somebody, or knowing that they're probably not going to get an answer. So I ask you, is it like the national people that would parachute in and constantly ask it, or was maybe that side of it overblown?
You know, local people, you're right. We kind of picked our spots. Of course, it was a big story coming into the season.
Mm-hmm.
When the Warriors would play the Lakers, actually, it would start popping up. KD was great about it when the Knicks came to town or when the team went to New York City. I think he was prepared and ready to answer those. But maybe on certain spots around, you know, when we were traveling, you would hear those local media, you know, the only time that they get to talk to Kevin, so they're going to shoot their shot and they're going to ask him.
Yep.
So I understand why it would pop up, and I can understand why that was really frustrating for him. But yeah, maybe national media sometimes, I don't know. I know he was a little sensitive about it because I do believe during the season he had not made up his mind. Mm-hmm. I don't know if his mind is made up right now. But did you see that New York Daily News the front page where it was like Knicks lose game 5? It was the picture of KD holding his leg. And there's just been like, I don't know where this is coming from, but like absolute certainty in that New York market that KD was going to be a Knick. And that was weird. It was weird to see. There was nothing from his camp, at least publicly. And I know who some of the sources are. I know, you know, his manager has ties to New York. I know that KD said, you know, playing at the Garden is like the mecca of sports. But every time I talked to KD, I was left with the impression that he was honestly focusing on the Warriors season, not making any decisions in the off season, because you see how much things change. And that was before his injury. But just the movement we're seeing now, all of the puzzle pieces, the chess pieces even, because there's strategy upon strategy with this. There was no point in him deciding where he was going to go during the regular season because everything changes. The off season is the time for that kind of decision, and now things are completely different for him.
Kareth, we've been talking to some people from Toronto, and I asked, why was there not this big shadow cast over the Raptors season by Kawhi's impending free agency when the opposite occurred with Golden State? And they said, well, everybody came out in Toronto before the season started and said, we're not going to talk about this, so let's just put it on the table. And I thought, well, that's great, but it's still going to come up again. Is it that simple?
It could be. I think KD is pretty honest in saying, I've got to, you know, evaluate all my options. Maybe the criticism for him was he didn't come out strong enough and say, I'm not talking about this whole season. I don't really have a problem with what he said. I know he left the door open, right? Which leaves the wonder, which leaves the stories, which equals the narrative. So I understand that feeling that maybe he brought some of this on himself, but ultimately he was honest. I think he said, you know, I've got to evaluate these options. I didn't have a problem with that. As far as Kawhi, I don't know. Do you think the Raptors handled it better?
I just didn't hear a whole lot about it. And from what, like I said, from the people that I've spoken to that work in Toronto, they said it was a non-issue. And I just thought that would have been nice.
Yeah. I don't know.
Different strokes, though. I also think that KD is he's more of a lightning rod than Kawhi anyway. I mean, you know, there's a certain level of attention that comes with being as good as KD is, and he's going to have to deal with that the rest of his career. Kareth, do you think his injury changes? Do you think it increases the chances that he re-signs or at the very least opts in for the $31.5 million, or do you think it's not going to have a bearing?
I'm not sure. I wish I had some inside track on this or some sort of clarity. I feel like because of who he is, and even with the understanding that, you know, a big man, a seven-footer, let's be honest, with an Achilles injury, that's tough. Now, it's not going to be the same kind of recovery that DeMarcus had, because DeMarcus has a lot more weight on him. He's just a different kind of player.
Right.
But listen, when Steve Kerr was saying, and the training staff was saying, that coming back from an Achilles, when you're a large man, is a very tough injury. However, because he's Kevin Durant, because he is a franchise-changing player and one of the greats the NBA has ever seen, I think he could get a lot of money from other teams. Of course, the Warriors will likely offer him the max. They want him to come back. But I don't know that this necessarily changes his money situation. I think it's just waiting a year for his recovery. I think teams across the league who want to offer him will have that faith that Kevin Durant will come back the same player that he was before.
The voice you hear is that of Kareth Burke. You can follow her on Twitter at Kareth Burke. I'll spell it out for you. KERITHBURKE. She's a sideline reporter for NBC Sports Bay Area for the Warriors games. And Kareth, what was your reaction when you heard that the Lakers finally got that AD deal done?
I was thinking, that's a heck of a 1-2 punch.
Yep.
There you go. You know, were you talking about Vegas saying that, that now they're the number one? Now they're most likely to win the championship next year. Good for them. You know, you gotta be looking at a league that's thinking, we got to do this now. If the Warriors are wounded and depleted, well, then now is the time to win that championship. That's why I feel like this offseason is just going to have some bombshells drop. As far as the Lakers, LeBron is outstanding. He's 35. He was injured last season. AD, outstanding. Injured last season as well. You know what I mean? I just hope. I'm so tired of injuries. I'm so sick of this. But I know that they can change a season. And let's just say I wish the Lakers well.
Yeah, I'm kind of, as a lifelong Warriors fan, Kareth, what I'm doing is I'm, in my mind, I've created a scenario in which Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson are going to play minor league baseball for a year or two.
Baseball, huh?
Because that's what Michael Jordan did, right? That's what stopped their run of three titles, and then they got right and had another run. So there's going to be this Warriors run, and then they move into Chase, and Clay and Kevin go play minor league baseball, and then they come back, and then they start winning titles again at Chase.
I feel like Clay does have some baseball in his background. I don't know if he was a three-sport athlete in high school, but that sounds kind of familiar.
His brother is a professional. His brother was in the big leagues last year, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like, I don't know at what age Clay said, okay, I'm going to entirely focus on basketball, but I feel like, okay, maybe a little fantasy. Maybe it's possible.
Whether it is or not, instead of thinking they're rehabbing potentially career-threatening injuries, I'm just saying they're playing grab-ass minor league baseball.
Sure. Ride the bus.
Hey, if the Warriors traded Draymond Green because they don't have a way to really add significant assets this offseason, that's one of the ways they could do it. God, I hope they don't, but everything is on the table. If it's going to make them better, you know that Lacob is going to have Myers look into it. Would that Would you be absolutely floored, given, I mean, you're much closer to the situation. You know how beloved he is, how necessary his fire is. Would that just stun you?
It would stun me, especially after the postseason he just had. 19 rebounds, 13 yeah. assists, 11 points. So he leaves, the taste that he leaves in the mouth is just a triple-double. He had so many of them in the playoffs. The Warriors' championship banners do not hang without Draymond.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he did so well this season to lose the weight, to show how serious he was about this season and the playoff run. He really is the heartbeat. That's not a cliche.
Right.
I don't see the Warriors without Draymond, especially when they want to be a defensive-minded team. So, wow, if they were to... You know, I don't see it. In fact, I feel like he's played his way into an extension, actually.
Yeah, and I believe Lacob said he wants Draymond to be a Warrior for life about the same time he said that he wants Clay to be a Warrior for life. I'm not really worried about Clay whatsoever. I think if he gets offered the max, he's going to take it. Now, they're going to offer KD the max. That's what Lacob says. I'll take him at his word. Don't know if KD is going to take this. I think this actually improves the chances. But I think more than anything, we might be looking, Kareth, at a year that's I'm not saying they would tank for draft picks. They're far, far too competitive. And again, they wouldn't just go to Chase Center with a thud. But I think it is an opportunity to kind of hit reset. So now, by no choice of their own, and not saying that they prefer this, but the silver lining is there's not going to be a ton of pressure on them to win the title in their first year at Chase. If there's any silver lining whatsoever, that would be it. That and the fact that it might increase the chances that KD comes back.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, something I've been thinking about is this season the Warriors came in thinking, you know, we need to have a youth movement. We understand our roster is aging as fantastic as it is. That's one of the reasons why they brought in Dr. Rick Celebrini, because remember he helped Steve Nash elongate his career. So you have this mind, like, we need to take care of these bodies that we have for our extraordinary players, and we need to get younger. The youth movement didn't really work out so well. Damian Jones is the only center, right? Damian Jones is the only center on the roster locked in for next season. He had the pec injury, unfortunately. There was Patrick McCaw, who won the championship with
crazy.
The he left. Jacob Evans needs a little bit more work. So the things that they had in the pipeline to get a little younger didn't really pan out. So I think that makes the draft pick that they have coming up important. And it's the 28th pick. Might not be a flashy pick, but maybe they can find a gem. The Warriors find a way there. So, yeah, there are two things going on in my mind. You know, I don't think there's a lot of pressure on the Warriors next year. I think a team that's led by Stephen Curry will always be a playoff team. I don't want to undersell them, especially what Draymond said. It's like, don't bury us yet. Yeah. We're not in our graves yet. Are you kidding? And then if the Warriors can find a way to strengthen the youth movement, they should be okay. You know, I understand why Steve Kerr's saying, like, maybe we do it Spurs model. Maybe we try to sustain this. You have to try to sustain this. And I think they have the pieces in place, or at least the philosophy, to make that a possibility.
Kareth, do you think Boogie Cousins comes back? Does this make it more likely for him, just the fact that he got re-injured? Because I thought if he could have just shut it down after game two of the finals when he was great, he may have gotten the type of deal he's looking for. But then he looked bad after that, and it looked like it was going to cost him a ton of money. And then he bounces back with a couple of decent performances. If I'm an NBA GM, I'm not quite sure how I'm feeling about Boogie.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you see how much Boogie wanted to play for his teammates and play for a championship. So I don't think that's a knock on him. I would be a little concerned that he had two leg injuries, two injuries to the same leg. But I hope people look at body of work, and I hope they see how Boogie, his time with the Warriors, rehabbed his image a little bit. And I hope that man gets paid. I really like that Steve Kerr said, we would like Boogie come back, but maybe we can't afford him.
Yeah.
So I hope he finds what he's looking for on the open market. I really hope this is a big offseason for him. If he were to come back to the Warriors, he knows the system. I think he could help shore up that center position. I think that would be great, but I'm curious to see if he gets his bag elsewhere.
We're talking with Kareth Burke, just another couple of minutes. She's a sideline reporter for NBC Sports Bay Area. Good enough to give us some time on Father's Day. Kareth, give me your takeaway on the Toronto Raptors. Even with the Warriors' injuries, I'm not the type of fan that's going to use that as an excuse, because I know the Warriors had some good fortune as it related to injuries. But I do like, when my team is getting spanked, to be able to work up a good mad on about the other team. But I couldn't find anything really to dislike about Toronto until some of the knuckleheads clapped when KD went down.
Yeah, you know what? I kind of agree. They're the most fantastic team in the East. I think they were built well. At the beginning of the season, I was thinking Masai Ujiri was crazy. How do you say goodbye to the coach of the year, Dwayne Casey? It felt ballsy, can I say that, you know, to go for the what's probably going to be a one-year rental for Kawhi Leonard, the win-now kind of mentality. But they did it. It paid off. I mean, you have to take risk, I suppose. And then they were built really well. Their depth showed off.
Yeah.
Some of their role players are really good. So I am sad for the Warriors. I'm sad at how this ended. But I'm also happy for the Raptors. Like, just going up to Toronto, getting a little taste of what it meant for that city. And it did remind me of the 2015 Warriors, young and hungry and putting it together at the right time and just galvanizing, you know, their region, which happens to be an entire country. It's a good story. So for sports, it's a feel-good story.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, they are deserving champs, and Kawhi, you know, stamped himself. In case anybody forgot what a great player Kawhi Leonard was, he certainly reminded them in the NBA Finals. If you had to characterize this Warriors season, how would you do that?
Oh, the word brotherhood comes to mind.
Okay.
Tight-knit. And you saw a few things erupt, but I think that's the way brothers are.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be some tension. 5 consecutive finals. That's a lot of time for the core players to be together, to go through whatever they need to do, to have, you know, a couple of tension blowups, that kind of thing. But to really come together for that close-knit chemistry, it's real. These guys really appreciate each other. They love playing with each other and playing for each other. The whole season, I tried to see them capitalize on this moment in time, this snapshot, this roster, and trying to three-peat. I don't know if that's going to be possible again in NBA history.
Right.
You know, like the Celtics, when the Celtics did it, they were, what, there were 10 teams in the NBA?
8 or 10. May as well have been 4.
Like, yeah. How do you replicate this again? I don't know, especially if it's going to be like pockets open up for teams like the Lakers thinking we're going to win now because we have to next season, and then who knows what happens. I think there's going to be, you know, a short-term viewpoint to get these championships, whereas the Warriors to me look like they were playing the long game and could continue to play the long game in the model of the Spurs.
Kareth, how much did you miss Swaggy P this year?
He was an excellent interview, and an excellent, yeah, he was good for a laugh, and a good for a 3 when they needed it. Hey, I wish him well. What is he up to?
I have no idea, but I'm sure he's laughing, and I'm sure the people around him are laughing too.
Oh, one of the best days was when he got his championship ring. That was so much fun. And a delay of game, remember that? He wanted to soak it in a little bit on the court still.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's one of a kind, no doubt. So are you, Kareth. I really appreciate your time. I know you must be exhausted. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
All right, take care, and happy Father's Day to your father. He should be proud of his professional young daughter rising to the top of her craft. That's Kareth Burke. You can follow her on Twitter at Kareth Burke, KeritthBurke. All right, you heard the woman who was with the Warriors on a daily basis for much of the season, her thoughts on the way the season shut down, the offseason, what it's going to mean, what next season is going to bring. It's certainly not going to bring pressure, at least in terms of pressure to win a championship. I think that, I hate to say it, that ship has sailed. Stop the presses, everyone. The Warriors are not going to win the championship next year. But I don't think you can rule them out of that completely. I think, look, I'm picturing, and you guys know I'm glass half full, right? If not glass overflowing. I'm never glass half empty. Well, not never, but mostly I'm glass half full. And my glass half full lifelong Warriors fan tells me, just like Kareth said, if Steph Curry is on the team, it's going to be a playoff team. If Steph is fine next year, if Dre is fine next year, they're going to be all right. They're going to get a 6, 7, or 8 seed. I think that's about what they're going to get for, and I don't think they'll try to tax themselves to get in the upper quadrant of it. Like, it obviously behooves you to be one of the top 4 seeds, so you at least have one round at home, or at least a round with a home court advantage. I don't know that that is going to, it's not like if they are close to it with a month to go, that they're going to just go balls to the wall and try to get it. They're not going to chase that. I think truly, and this is a luxury, truly, I think they're going to be happy just to make it to the postseason. And then who knows? Who knows who is ready by then? I mean, it's a 9 months to 12 months recovery for both of these injuries. The Achilles injury is the more serious of the two, although it's tough to say it's ACL, something's more serious than that. They're both a bitch. It sucks. They're horrible, horrible injuries for any athletes, and for athletes that are running, stopping, going, cutting laterally, jumping up and down. It's even worse. It's tough. So when it comes to injuries, I'm not necessarily glass half full in terms of when they're going to come back. I would always prefer that when you got a major injury, especially when you're at these guys' stages in their career, they've got plenty of good years left. Plenty of good years. I would err on the side of caution. So let's say 12 months. Let's call it 11. If it's 11 months and the Warriors can somehow survive that first round of playoff games, maybe you get Klay and or KD back during the postseason. Maybe they surprise you and come back even earlier. And all of a sudden, you just picked up one or two generational talents right before the playoffs start. Oh, can you imagine how pissed the entire NBA would be if the Warriors just kind of just have some fun, open up a new arena, have a blast, drop some confetti every once in a while after the regular season wins, sneak into the playoffs, and then here comes KD and Klay. And away we go. Oh, by the way, they're perky as daisies. They're in really, really good shape. I can't imagine that either one of those guys needing a whole lot of time to get back into basketball shape after they come back, after they're cleared for court work. I mean, it's muscle memory. It's, first off, diligence, education, and opportunity. Opportunity to get the best possible care. You know the Warriors are going to make sure they get it. You know they're going to make sure they get it. Remember, if you play for the Warriors, you get seen by their doctors. You get treated by their doctors. But you also have your own set of doctors that you can go get treated and looked at by them. So these days, big injury in the NBA, if you don't bounce back, if you don't come back to what you were, it's not going to be because you didn't get great care. Everybody in the NBA gets great care. The immediate problem for the Warriors, of course, is how do you fill those roster spots next year? And do you react in any way to what the Lakers are trying to do? I don't think you do. There is one move that I would love, love, love to see the Warriors make next year. It'd be cheap. It'd be totally doable. And everybody, even associated with the organization and those who just root for it, will be all over this. Yes, please. I'm Michael Urban with you till 4 on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, a little classic rock on Sunday morning. How you like that, Dad? A lot of dads out there right now probably bobbing their head just a little bit. What's the name of this song, Alex? Alex Scott, by the way, on the ones and twos today. The Line by Toto. Toto also. Hold the Line. Toto, of course, also did Africa, which my mother, rest in peace, wore out every time I was at her place. And I have Africa seared in my brain right now. I don't think that's necessarily a good thing, but I am familiar with Toto. So thank you for that. Again, Alex Scott on the ones and twos. We have got Gabe Osler. He is the producer for the day. And guess who's going to be our second guest of the day? That would be one Scott Osler. Very difficult ask for Gabe. He had to actually find his dad and then ask him to come on the show. And I'm only partly kidding. It's probably a little bit weird for him, but I asked him to do it, and he did, because Scott Osler of the Chronicle is obviously somebody that can speak to pretty much any professional sports team in the area and do it eloquently and with a great sense of humor. So we're going to be talking with him at 1:20. Paul Jones does radio up for the Raptors. He's going to join us at 2:20. At 3:20, RJ Anderson, he's a baseball writer for CBS Sports. Yes, we are going to talk about things other than the Golden State Warriors, but they are still top of mind. It is still, we're less than a week from the end of an era, from the end of the Oracle era. Weird way to go out, huh? Losing three in a row in the finals. Ugh. Didn't see that one coming. And I thought for sure they were going to pull off game six. But I think I agree with most of the experts I've spoken to on this. Without Clay and KD, okay, typically when a team loses one of their studs, absolute studs, their level of play will rise temporarily. Now, how long they can maintain that is another issue. So, surprising that the Warriors were still in it to the very last shot in Game 6? No, not at all. They're champs. They have incredible heart. They are Warriors. That didn't surprise me. But what often happens is that team that raised its level in the wake of a significant departure, once they get a little time, i.e. that game that they were just engaged in and raised their level is over, and you're on a flight or on a bus or in your hotel room or whatever, and then it hits you. Holy crap. KD's not coming back. Clay's not coming back. Oh, my God. And then you see them kind of go back to what you would expect to see. I fear that that would have happened in Toronto, and they may have gotten spanked. I'm glad that didn't happen. I'm glad I didn't have to see it. Because I was worn out mentally by the end of the season. This was a lot. I mean, really, it sounds awfully weak to say, oh, I'm tired. I'm just a fan watching the games. But it was emotionally exhausting if you're emotionally invested. And I am. I mean, that's either to my detriment or good for me. It depends on how you look at it. I would rather feel things, like really feel them. Good or bad. I want to be able to feel with them so I know how to deal with them and process them. I won't wear you out with this, but most of you know I'm a thankful recovering alcoholic, and you just, it's not, it's something you have to deal with all the time. You have to figure out how to deal with things. When I was an alcoholic, I would just drink to get away from that. I didn't want to feel it. I didn't want to feel it. And so guess what? It never got dealt with. Now that I'm sober, 6 years and counting. Thank you very much. Even when life sucks, and it sucks whether or not, it doesn't matter whether you drink, do drugs, you are a priest, you are a nun, you're a programmer, whatever kind of life you lead, life's going to suck every once in a while. But if you can feel with it, if you can feel it, you can deal with it. So that's my PSA for the day. As I always say, if you're struggling, hit me up on Twitter, Big Herb Sports. I will point you in the right direction, or I will grab you by the ear and take you in the right direction. Question of the day, your first reaction. When you heard AD is going to the Lakers. I know what mine was. I want to get Brandon from Tracy's in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about that offseason acquisition. Got to pay off the tees. Get me JaVale McGee back, please. Please. Get me JaVale back. Jug life, baby. Seriously. He's not going to get a monster deal anywhere else. I know he came here that first year thinking, you know what? I need to erase Shaq and a Fool from my record, which you can't ever do. But I'm going to reverse that. I don't want people to think that I'm always Shaq and a Fool. I'm a good basketball player, and I'm a good teammate. Well, he proved that his first year with the Warriors. And then nobody wanted to pay him because you're still JaVale McGee, dude. I mean, it's great that you're not on Shaq and a Fool all the time, and it's great that you have become more of a productive player and you've started to shed that lovable knucklehead, you know, label you have, but I don't think he'll ever be able to completely shed it, and that's not his fault. All I know is I love me some JaVale McGee, and I think you might be able to get him on the cheap, and he is one of the things that you need. Unless you're going to count on Damian Jones all next year, you can bring Boogie back and count on him. Kevon Looney, Oh, my God. We haven't even talked about Kevon Looney. What a warrior that guy is. No pun intended. That was ridiculous how much pain he was in. Oh, man, it hurt just watching him. That's the kind of injury, too. I've had something similar where you breathe heavily and it hurts. I mean, forget about coughing or laughing or sneezing. That's incredibly painful. Just walking around and breathing hurts. So, yeah, Kevon Looney, I've always dug him. I dug his story. I like the underdogs. He's a hell of an underdog story. He's going to get paid this offseason. More than JaVale McGee. Just bring JaVale back. Let's talk to Brandon. Brandon is in Tracy. Brandon, how you doing, man? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Good. How are you?
Fantastic.
Mr. Irwin, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm great. Thank you, man.
That's good. I have a couple ideas for you. You may like and you may not.
Okay.
Who should fill him for Clay Thompson for a year? I would say J.J. Redick to sign him for a one-year deal.
He's going to cost too much, I think, though. Brandon, remember, you're not just up against cap. You're way over it. And if you re-sign KD and Clay, which they want to, and I think it's going to happen, they're going to be including luxury tax penalties. Their payroll is going to be like $375 million. They got no room to add a J.J. Redick.
Right, but my whole thing is I don't think Kevin Durant's coming back to the Warriors, and I think he's going to go to the East Coast.
What makes you say that?
Well, because everything I've read is he wants to team up with Kyrie Irving.
Where are you reading that?
New Jersey.
You know what I need to do? I need to write an article for 957thegame.com. In fact, I am, because sounds like you believe most of what you read. So I'm going to write an article that's going to go up tomorrow saying Kevin Durant's going to re-sign with the Warriors. Will you believe that?
Yeah, I guess I would if you did write an article.
Good, because we were going to have a problem if you didn't, because I think you and I are much tighter than you and any other writer that you're reading stuff from, right? We have a relationship.
No, and I respect you completely.
Oh, thank you.
Another one I was going to toss to you. How about Zach Randolph and Vince Carter?
Z-Bo, I've thought that would be a good fit. I think that maybe financially, in the past, I'm saying. I don't know what Z-Bo has left, I'll be honest with you. I didn't get to see him a whole lot. Now, Vince Carter, for a veteran, if you know, you take that veteran's minimum, the David West type of contract, I'd be all right with that. I don't know that you could count on Vince to really be a key rotation player at this point in his career. I'd feel better about a Vince Carter signing if it was to add to the group, a healthy whole group of Warriors, and then you added Vince. I think that would make more sense. But next year, I think you need to get a little bit more bang for your buck, and that's what's going to make it so difficult about roster building. Thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. He came with ideas. Strong to quite strong. Look, we're all just coming up with ideas here, right? We're very, very infrequently are we going to be throwing facts at each other. I'll give you as many facts as I can to support my opinions, but they're still just opinions. And when you come and call to me, you get through Gabe, you get on the air, you're mostly going to be giving opinions too. And I am not that radio host that shouts people down or disagrees just to disagree. I am going to respect your opinion. As long as we exchange them civilly and without trying to shout each other down, then we'll just be fine. To prove that, let's go to Tish in Hercules. Tish, you are on 95.7 The Game. Happy Father's Day, Tish.
Happy Father's Day.
What'd you do with your pops?
Because you said you were a glass half full person, and I think I'm upset with you. I just left gas station, and I ran into some people, and I'm wearing my Warriors championship hat and my Warriors championship shirt, and a guy said to me, they lost, you know? And I said, well, actually, what I know is they're on top of the U.S., they're the best team in this country, and they're still on top of the West. I said, so until I hear that we don't have KD or Clay for next year, I'm so optimistic. I mean, I know they can't play, but my point is, the only thing that will take away my pride in the Warriors is bad news that either Clay or KD is leaving. Otherwise, we have no reason to hang our heads because our guys fought like literally Warriors. Don't you agree?
I agree completely. I don't think there's any reason that anybody on the Warriors should feel anything but great about how this year went down. Of course, you're bummed that the injuries came and got you and ended your season, and it leaves a lot of what if on the table, but what if is for losers. I don't think the Warriors or their fans are going to be doing a whole lot of what if. When I look back at this season, it's just going to be, you know what? We had 4 years of incredible fortune as it relates to health, and we ran the world. And as a lifelong Bay Area fan, as a lifelong Warrior fan, I never thought, never in a million years, thought that my Warriors would be considered the best team on the planet, much less one of the best teams of all time. So I feel nothing but good about it. And I would hope that most Warriors fans do. Sure, it hurts to lose the finals. It hurts to see that three-peat slip through your grasp, especially given, imagine if they'd have won the title this year after everything they'd gone through. That would have been by far the most gratifying championship of them all, right? Okay, they didn't get it. They got banged up. Toronto got hot. The way the Eastern Conference playoffs unfolded, look, I would have preferred to see somebody other than Toronto. I feared Toronto going into the playoffs. If there's one Eastern Conference team I didn't want to see, it was Toronto. Okay, well, they ended up getting Toronto. And Toronto got a title, fine. But for the past 4 years, my team that I watched stink. I mean, worse than stink. They sucked. They were awful for so long. And now we're on top of the world. Oh, and we have to hit pause for a year while we move into the billion-dollar fantastic palace. Yeah, I'll put up with a pause type season while we get used to these palatial digs. And then next year, okay, we know with virtual certainty that Clay's coming back. I'd put everything I own on Clay coming back. I really would. Not so much on KD, but I do think KD is coming back. And if that happens, okay, so we don't get back to the mountaintop until year two of the Chase Center. Look, by then, they're going to have all the bugs worked out. There's going to be a bunch of bugs coming up. Not like literal bugs, but at Chase, there's going to be some things that got to get worked out. By the time KD and Clay are healthy, they'll all be worked out. And who knows? Maybe it's the start of next year's playoffs. Maybe. That's all we can look at, right? By the way, you're listening to 95.7 A Game, KGMZ-FM, and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Don't be like me, because when we switched over to the radio.com sports station, I work here, but I'm also one of those older gentlemen, not old, but older, who's a little bit intimidated by technology. And so I just assumed it was going to be hard. And then I was waiting for my daughter at the orthodontist, and I said, well, let me see how hard this is. So I go to the App Store. I type in search for radio.com. I click. And all of a sudden I have the app, and I can listen to the station no matter where I am. It's pretty damn easy. If I can do it, you can do it. Even you, Diane, in Napa, you can do it, although I suspect you're smarter than me to begin with. How you doing, Diane?
You're funny. But I'm going to try it.
All right.
I said, you're funny, but I will try the app.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Every time in the car.
So, Diane, you say that you've already seen what the recovery looks like. Can you explain that?
No, I didn't say that. I said, I'm sorry, he misunderstood me. First of all, I want to thank every Warrior, every coach. I'm 73. I enjoyed every game of the season. And thank you for all their hard work. Secondly, I think KD will come back because our whole team just went through an Achilles heel with Boogie Cousins. We know how to treat it. We know how to recover from it, work with it, rehab it.
Yeah, makes sense. Wouldn't that make you, now tell me this, Diane. Do you want Boogie to be back?
If he can play, yes.
Okay. What if all he can give you is what you saw in the finals?
Yeah. Well, it's hard to say. So many things went on, and I'm just not an expert. I think we need somebody who can be really dependable, but yeah. Who is?
I agree. I mean, I'd like to think that Damian Jones will be able to stay healthy. If you gave me some semblance of a guarantee that Damian Jones would be eligible or would be healthy and ready to go for much of the season, then maybe I'd cool my jets a little bit on Boogie. But given the fact that you're losing two of your primary scoring options and Boogie, even when, I mean, look, he can barely jump over a phone book right now, and he still got some work done in the NBA Finals. Yeah, he looked really bad at times, but he did get work done at times, especially when they really needed him to. Like in game two, they don't win that game without him. He was, I mean, given what he was working with, he wasn't that bad. And I don't, you know, it's a different scale that JaVale McGee is on, obviously. But I think the same type of thing is going to greet Boogie Cousins when he hits the free agent market. I think he and his agents are going to be surprised that what they're looking for isn't quite out there. It's going to be, I think it might end up being up to the Warriors whether he comes back. And if you're Boogie Cousins, did he say he doesn't want to be Boogie anymore? Because I'm starting to feel self-conscious saying Boogie. Just calling a grown man Boogie. I don't know. DeMarcus. If he wants to come back, it's not just a given that he's coming back. You got to, the Warriors have to want him back. Are they going to say all the right things? But I don't know. Center spot is wide open next year, right? You can't count on anything. I'd like to be able to count on Kevon Looney coming back healthy, but okay, does he come back to the Warriors healthy? He is a restricted free agent, which means the Warriors can match any deal he gets. But what if he gets a crazy fat deal out there? The Warriors might say, I want him back, though. His story is just too good. Let's go to TJ in San Mateo. TJ, you're on 95.7 a game. You got some advice for Steph Curry for next year.
Yeah, I was just wondering if Steph can beef up a little bit during the off season, because it seems like he's getting manhandled, especially with Van Fleet, and he's about the same size, if not taller. I was thinking, what are your thoughts if him and maybe if when KD comes back, if those two would beef up a little bit, would that hinder Steph's shooting range or shooting prowess, or will it improve? So I'll take your thoughts off the air. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the phone call, TJ. Steph.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.